happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is hiking tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Tariffs will double from the current rate of 25% to 50%. Those price increases could make a can of soup, a dishwasher, a car, and lots of other products more expensive.
Senate Republicans are set to meet on what the president calls his big, beautiful budget bill a day after Elon Musk deemed the package a disgusting abomination. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Breaking news, Elon Musk and I agree with each other.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
He's entitled to that opinion. We're going to proceed.
There are plans to remove names like Harvey Milk, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Harriet Tubman from Navy ships, military bases, and landmarks. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
The Defense Department confirmed the secretary is reviewing names to ensure they represent the, quote, warrior ethos the Trump administration values.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Another push for new gun violence measures. Wisconsin Democrats and advocates are proposing a package of gun safety bills. They introduced these bills Tuesday that would institute universal background checks, reinstate a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases, and add red flag laws. All proposals that have broad bipartisan support across the country and have been introduced here in Wisconsin before. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for American children. It's been that way for years now. Lindsay Busher from Moms Demand Action Wisconsin.
To every parent, whether you're here in Madison or in Green Bay or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Superior, I hope you feel hopeful because this package is for you.
From 2014 to 2023, the gun death rate increased 34% in the U.S. Here in Wisconsin, it rose 54%. During that time, Republicans repealed Wisconsin's 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun, which had been in place for about four decades. Senator Chris Larson.
As anyone could have predicted, and many of us did, gun violence has risen as a result of it.
Daryl Morin, head of Forward Latino.
In 2022, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we had 830 gun deaths. 277 of those were homicides. The overwhelming majority, 529 were Wisconsinites who took their own life.
Over the last five or so years, Democrats have introduced dozens of gun safety bills. But Republicans control which ones get hearings and, of course, which get passed. So the big question is, will any Republicans get on board? State Senator Deb Andraca.
Some of them say they support some of these measures. That's why we have public hearings. It's shameful that none of these have ever been called up.
We reached out to Speaker Robin Voss to ask if he had any comment on the new bills, but at the time of this recording, we haven't heard back. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Reds wrapping up their three-game series today. Last night, Cincinnati winning 4-2, ending the Brewers' eight-game winning streak. Pat Murphy said the crew needed more than just a couple of hits from Christian Yelich and a solo home run shot by Sal Frelick.
Everybody's got to contribute, and we had some holes in there tonight. We only mustered up five hits or whatever we did, and that's not enough, especially when you only drew two walks, I think. You know, you got to do something else to create offense. Credit to their pitching staff, to Hunter Green and their bullpen, and great play by Friedel at the end of the game to change the game. You play to the last pitch, and you know he made the play.
NFL OTAs, the Packers' Kenny Clark revealing he had surgery in January after playing all last season with a broken toe.
I heard it in the Brazil game.
What was the surgery? Did you have a screw put in?
Nah, I had like a bunion, bone spurs.
That's defensive end Kenny Clark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, June 4th, 2025. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, Parker Olson standing by in Madison as well, coming up in this hour. We will talk a bit about the gig economy and making sure that it works for everybody, not just for employers who might be looking to shirk their responsibilities to the people who do the work for them by referring to them as independent contractors. There's a bill that was considered in the legislature yesterday by a committee, and we'll look at whether it's something that can help the situation with access to benefits or if it simply perpetuates the ongoing unfairness for some workers in this system. That's coming up. Brittany Merlot is out today. I can tell you that it's still smoky, still hazy around here, a little foggy, much more sunshine than we've had over the past few days here, but still humid. We're going to get to the mid to upper 70s in parts of Wisconsin today. A couple of nice days ahead before another chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in to help kick off the start of the weekend, but not rain for the whole weekend, so we should be okay there. Time to do our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. You should be familiar with this by now. You should have that Civic Media app downloaded, and if you don't, head over to your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever you get your apps. Get the Civic Media app. On the app, you can call up any Civic Media station and listen to it. You know, unless there's some kind of licensed thing, like you can't listen to Packers games, you know, over the app. But so many other things on our music stations and on our news and talk stations. Pick a station, listen, find something new and fun. And we're glad some of you have found us through the Civic Media app. And on these Text to Win contests, when you call up any station, there's a button you can use to call that show, that station. There's a button to leave a voice note, and there's a button to send a text, and that's what we want you to use, is hit that text button, and then text in the hour's keyword, spelled correctly, and just the word, nothing else, and that is your entry into our contest. Each hour, four times a day, at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., there will be different keywords for you to text in, and you can win that hour's prize. But then every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a lovely stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, and a little gas money to get you there. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. That said, let's get to this hour's keyword. Today's keyword for the 7 a.m. hour only for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets is grill. Grill, G-R-I-L-L, grill. text that using the Civic Media app to us. You'll be entered for that pair of Brewers tickets for this hour, and you'll be entered for the grand prize drawings at the end of the contest as well. Now, there's a limit. You've got only till the end of this hour to text the keyword, and then we clear the slates and we get set for your next chance to win at 11 a.m. So, again, you have about 50 minutes, a little less than that, to get on the phone, get that app downloaded, and text GRILL, G-R-I-L-L, as part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All right, well, with Brittany out, let me see if I can bring up what Rob is sharing with us from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton, he writes. It's partly sunny and 55 degrees. We got an inch and a quarter of rain. Many farmers call it a million-dollar rain. It was really dry. It's been 3 weeks since the last good soaking. Rob says, I got 4 yards mowed yesterday morning before the rain and the storms came in around 2 o'clock in the Tigerton area. Grass will really be growing after this rain. And he says, today is birthday eve for me. So, Rob, I hope you're going to be treating yourself really good with a cake or something along those lines. We had to make a birthday call last evening to my in-laws. Sherry's parents yesterday turned 80 and 85. And, of course, are long since retired from their work on the dairy farm there. We were talking with Hans Breitenmoser yesterday about the changes in dairy farming over the years. This being June Dairy Month, there are a lot of dairy farm tours that are out there, a lot of dairy farm breakfasts. And all of these automated, almost robotic milking parlors now that are more efficient, cleaner. Such a different time from when Sherry was growing up. Sherry was the oldest of six. And the kids would get up at 5 a.m. and they would, you know, milk 72 cows, clean the barn and everything, and then get on the school bus. And when they got off the school bus, they'd do their homework and then they'd milk 72 cows again, you know, in the stanchions. And if the power went out, which didn't happen often, but if the power went out, you know, it was a stool and a bucket. And it's a lot different now in just these few years. And so, again, happy birthday to Billy and Betty. And thanks for all you've done, both as dairy farmers and as wonderful parents and in-laws. Appreciate it so very much. And again, for the rest of you, for June Dairy Month, get out to one of these farm visits. Get out to a farm, a dairy breakfast if you can. Tony on YouTube, have you heard the song Blame Canada? That's what I think when I see all this smoke. Yes. Although I don't know that we can play it on the radio, but yes, I understand the song Blame Canada. And I understand the sentiment, but I also know there are plenty of folks in Canada that wish it weren't happening to them either. I mean, we talk about the Northwoods here. They have serious Northwoods up there. It goes for a long, long ways before you hit the tundra. And unfortunately, so much of it is, again, on fire. Some would say the climate seems to be changing. Or something, that you get these longer dry spells that lead to bigger fires. We'll save that for another time. Maybe we'll talk about that with Melissa Baldoff in our next hour when we do our weekly climate check. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Three different newsletters now. If you heard me talking to Christina Laurie yesterday, we had been talking about her new newsletter about some of the good feature stories behind Wisconsin sports. And it had been a monthly newsletter. So well received, it's now becoming a weekly sports newsletter. So she'll have that on Saturdays. I'll have my weekly newsletter on Sundays with the creative name Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about the week in Wisconsin politics. And of course, Christina puts together our Monday through Friday newsletter as well. And you can sign up for all those at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. I want to talk just a little bit about the gig economy, and it's because of some work that was done in a committee of the State Assembly yesterday. I'm sorry, State Senate yesterday. The Senate committee took up a bill that would create portable benefit accounts for contract employees of companies like DoorDash and Uber. Other couriers, drivers, and people who make up that particular part of the gig economy. Now, the gig economy is being sold to us as freedom and flexibility. And that is true to a degree, but along with that freedom and flexibility should come some responsibility. And that's where I have my concern. So I want to start by reading a bit from the folks at WisPolitics who put this together, saying that the committee yesterday split along party lines over legislation that would create these portable benefit accounts. Under the bill, workers could access benefits such as retirement accounts and insurance. It would allow the companies to contribute up to 4% of a driver's quarterly earnings, and the contract employee could also put money into the account. The bill also makes clear, however, that contract workers are not employees of the delivery network companies for the purposes of workers' compensation insurance, minimum wage laws, and unemployment insurance. The bill is sponsored by Franklin Republican Senator Julian Bradley, who was also the committee chair, and he said that thousands of people in the state have chosen to be contract employees, and they want access to these benefits. He says drivers for these industries played important roles during the pandemic. We need these drivers, he said. We depend on them, and now we're trying to help the people who helped us during a difficult time. Democratic State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe of Cottage Grove said in so many words, and this is me paraphrasing, not her, said something along the lines of, oh, please. Saying, we don't need a bill that states that companies can provide benefits to workers if they want, or that they can provide insurance if they want. They can do that already without putting it into law. But that does get to the tricky part of the situation here, and that would be, who is a contract worker and who is an employee? Because if you're a contract worker, if you're a contractor, independent, freelancer, whatever you want to call it, you're doing work for a company, but you're not, for example, covered under that company's policy if there's an accident. For example, you're using your own vehicle because you don't get a company car or a company truck. You might have bought your own liability insurance. You might not. There's all these other costs that a lot of folks don't think about when they're thinking only of the, quote, freedom and flexibility and putting cash in their pockets free and clear and other things like that. There's a whole reason why we have employment law. Employment law isn't designed to stick it to employers, you know, whatever big business groups will tell you. It is designed to guard against predatory employers. And our history, not just Wisconsin history, not just American history, but human history shows us that, sadly, there are bosses who would treat their workers as chattel if they could. You get hurt, you get sick, you got somebody sick in the family, you're making poverty wages after all the employer's deductions. Well, all of that must have been your fault, you know, buyer beware, as opposed to an employer who takes care of the people who take care of them. Because there are no earnings. There is no profit margin without the workers who actually get things done. There's a lot to be said for management. There's a lot to be said for stockholders. But if you rely on labor to get something done, then those laborers deserve a fair shake. And this isn't to say there isn't a place for independent contractors or contract employees. But one thing I know, dating back to my time in the Senate 15 years ago and long before that, it's been clear that for a long time, our country suffers from worker classification abuse as a way to avoid paying fair wages, extending benefits, ensuring worker safety, and much more. Which takes us back to this particular bill, where I do understand the sentiment behind it, that if there is a way for these so-called gig employees to finally have access to retirement accounts, insurance, and other benefits, that sounds like it would be a positive thing. But I also know from experience, a lot of young gig workers, the last thing they're thinking about is their retirement. And they're also thinking they're young and bulletproof and they don't need health insurance. They don't need all these other benefits. They just want freedom, flexibility, and cash in their pockets. Which brings us back to employment law. Maybe the employee isn't thinking about the need for these things, but we know how much they can cost when things go wrong or when employers abuse their workers. And yes, they are workers. Even if they're contractors, if they're doing work for you, they're a worker and they deserve a certain level of treatment, whether they appreciate it or not. Live from the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Summer, summer, summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Summer. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello and welcome everyone to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. Welcoming into the studio some good friends of ours from St. John's Episcopal Church. We're going to be talking about their 150th anniversary celebration right now. I will let you guys introduce yourself so the audience can put a voice to the name. We'll start right here.
I'm Father David Kluterman. I'm the priest in charge at St. John's. Been there for about 5 years, so.
Father David, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
I'm Bruce Barnes. I'm a proud member of St. John's. I've been there for about 3 years.
Bruce, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the contact information and a lot of that stuff that you really helped us get the ball rolling here and stuff, too. And I appreciate you both being here. I just want to say right away, I'm thankful to not only what you guys are doing, but what so much of our churches and our community do in this area. And as somebody who didn't grow up in this world that much, I grew up in a multi-religious family. I'm always just blown away and taken back by the above and beyond that our churches do and that we see them involved in our communities and helping out people. As a little kid, I grew up in a Catholic and a Jewish family, and I didn't think that, well, I'm an outsider. Nobody's going to help me. Nobody wants to do it. And it couldn't be more the opposite, where it's, hey, you're a human being. what, you know, how can I help? How can I do things? Or, okay, you know, what can I do to just welcome you to our events in some of these things? Mm-hmm. So I never want to, I know that's kind of normalized in today's day and age, and that's a wonderful thing, but I don't ever want to skate past it. I think that that's something that stands out, not just to me, to many other people out there. So I really appreciate that and appreciate both of your guys' time today talking about this event. We were talking in our pregame a little bit, Father David, you were mentioning mm-hmm. how many things are around for 150 years. In November, here at WFHR, we're going to be celebrating an 80-plus birthday. And we're babies compared to you guys, compared to this. Yeah. Like, when you think about that, in that perspective, it's really amazing, 150 years. It's really impressive.
It is. Of course, then again, the radio wasn't around 150 years ago.
That's a good point. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. But just talking about the church and its presence, its impact in the area for quite a amount of time, that's really something.
It is. And if you look at the history of St. John's, it really parallels that of Wisconsin Rapids and Centralia and Port Edwards and Nakusa. We've covered that whole area. And one of the things that has struck me is I'm a student of history, and I love to go through church records. And one of the things that just strikes you is that there's been a partnership between the larger community mm-hmm. and St. John's Church. Mm-hmm. And St. John's would not be here, if not for the passion, not only of its members, but also of the larger community. Mm-hmm. When they built the present St. John's in the late 20s and opened in 1931, the only reason they could do that was because half of the gifts outside of those from Isaac Witter came from outside the congregation, from members of the community of Wisconsin Rapids. And so you think about that, and that's... It's also
beyond impressive. That's really, really beyond impressive. Yeah. That is really something. I appreciate. You know, I also a lover of history, and I wouldn't have thought of it that way until how you worded it, and the two being parallel mm-hmm. with the history of this area, that church, and it's something I think that's very, like, it's really cool to hear too. The way you worded that, the way you said about the church not being here without the community and so much of that, I think that that's something that we don't think of very often. So that's a really great note. I appreciate that.
Thank you
for being here. Bruce, so I understand why the father is here, and I know that I have to be here because it's my job. Why are you here? No, I'm kidding. What I wanted to say, I note that because I think that this is another part. I'm piggybacking on what the father was saying here about the people in the community and how much these things mean to us. What is so important to you about celebrating these 150th years, about talking about some of these events, and why you wanted to be with us today?
Well, I'm here as I owe David $5.
That's a perfect reason. That's
then discharges reason. Yeah. That debt, so now we're square once
squared
again.
Up.
With interest.
Well, this is such an important part of our lives, yeah. And just I think when I consider St. John's and its mission and its history, the word community comes back to me over and over again. Community, and that's what we are. That's where we are. Mm. We're in the center of the Wisconsin Rapids community, geographically and in many other ways too. So this is a way for the community again to come and meet us, and for us to meet them. So that's what the events and the celebration are. And I want to make it real clear to our audience that what they're not is an attempt to convert you to our church. Mm-hmm. We're not missionaries here. This is just a chance to see who we are, explore that big, glorious building across from the post office downtown, and come in and have a look at us, at the surroundings. And I can tell you that the stained glass windows are even more impressive from the inside.
Okay, yeah, man, I got to see that. I have to. I'm a sucker for the architecture and stuff, so that's I've noticed that too. That's
it's
really
truly
good,
a glorious, glorious building.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Appreciate it. You're going to be great. When it comes to the events that are coming up to celebrate the 150th anniversary here, let's talk about some of those, Father. When does it start? What kicks things off?
We start this Sunday, June 8th. We have a service at 9:30, and then we have a picnic for the community. Goes from 12 to 3 on the grounds of both in the parish hall, but also on the grounds. And we will be providing food for everybody. It's a chicken dinner and free. So we hope everybody comes. And that's really an opportunity for us, first of all, to kick off the celebration and say thank you to the community and celebrate the partnership. And then in July, we have a second celebration where we open the church to and have open house and give tours of the building and give a little bit of the history and really be able to share in some of the who we are and what we've been about for all this time, and with a background idea that there's something about opening ourselves up.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The average Wisconsin farm probably doesn't think much about artificial intelligence impacting their farming operation, but if you're a cattle producer, it already has. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says last week there was an information breach that hit social media, a false report about screwworm in the United States that turned into a downturn immediately for cattle prices.
Actually, last week on Tuesday, we had a false article get posted on the internet and came out through the socials that screwworm was found in cattle in Missouri. And they just dropped the market that day just with that concern what would happen to consumer demand, things of that nature. It took about an hour, and then the USDA came out and said, this isn't our report, this is not true. And the media outlets who had it on their website pulled it because it was just a perfect copy of what a USDA press release would look like.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says with the advent of even more AI-generated information, he's worried that trying to understand or vet what is accurate information versus inaccurate information is going to become a big challenge for trading firms. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not looking too bad so far. Numbers are next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese dropped 3 to 184. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters, 193 and three quarters, while butter dropped a penny to 250 a pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 17, 1905 a hundredweight. July corn's up 2, December new crop up 2 right now at 441. July soybeans up a penny, November new crop up a penny, currently at 1022. July wheat's unchanged at 536 a bushel. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Connie Summer Text to Win contest is underway, and this hour's keyword is grill for a pair of Brewers tickets. If you'd like to be in the running for a pair of Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings, which are some lovely stays in the Wisconsin Dells area and or county, then use that Civic Media app and send us the keyword grill before the end of this hour. As I was slurping yet again during the commercial break through my coffee cup, it occurred to me that I never see young Parker Olson here. Imbibing in coffee, but it also occurs to me that he works at an actual radio station, unlike the Lake Wasuda studios here next to my kitchen coffee maker. And they probably have rules against, you know, beverages and fluids near a $1 million audio board. Or are you not a coffee drinker during the course of the show?
I am not a coffee drinker. I don't really do coffee at all. So
what do you do? What do you do in the morning?
I wake up, I take a shower.
I thought you were going to say like Mountain Dew or something else that your morning beverage.
I don't know. I got my water bottle here.
A water bottle?
Yeah.
That's so ridiculously healthy.
Stay hydrated, man. We're going to start doing hydration checks during breaks, Pat.
Wow. That is so healthy. I'm so shocked.
That's right.
Anyway.
Hey.
Well, not you personally, a man of your age. Look, I'm the guy who would, you know, when I first started college and saw all the young men were drinking Mountain Dew. And so I started drinking Mountain Dew. And in my dorm room, there was a shelf, you know, above the bunks or above the beds.
Sure.
And I'd put each empty can there. And there had to be a couple hundred cans that were all stacked up, you know, like a wall. Basically, I was building that big, beautiful wall.
Sure.
But out of Mountain Dew cans. And eventually took them all to what was called back at the time the Golden Goat, and you'd feed all these cans in and you'd get money back, and it was kind of depressing. But anyway, it was Mountain Dew. Then it was Diet Pepsi when I met Sherry, because she was a Diet Pepsi drinker.
Sure.
Then while I was in the legislature, we were studying taxes and who pays taxes and who doesn't, and realized that Coca-Cola pays its share of Wisconsin corporate income taxes. Pepsi didn't. So I was like, well, I'm done with Pepsi. So then we were Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time. By the way, since that time, Republicans have basically gotten rid of the corporate income tax. So, I mean, you have to pay everything now instead of, you know, multi-billion dollar corporations paying anything for the privilege of doing business in Wisconsin. Anyway, so there we were, Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time until we were like 45 years old or so. And this was during our 3-year stint, you know, living in the Caribbean, and on an island, everything is way more expensive. Groceries, especially soda. And that's when we were like, maybe we should be grown-ups now and have this coffee thing. And it turns out we actually like it. It wasn't until we were in our late 40s that we were coffee drinkers. So long as we can put enough, you know, flavored creamers in there, as long as it doesn't taste like, you know,
coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah. As long as you can make it taste as unrecognizable as possible, coffee.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that and, you know, whatever else Todd Allbaugh puts in that cup that he's enjoying, as we call him up now a little bit early across the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd, affectionately known by Tony on YouTube as the Todd Father.
Todd Father. So, I like it.
Todd Father, welcome. And what about you? Well, you have talked about, and by the way, say good morning, because I'm not sure if you're muted or not. Are you there? No, I'm not hearing you at all. So I'm going to, not hearing a peep out of you. You are as quiet as it gets. So you work on that, because I'm still not hearing a word out of you. So you just keep prattling on while you look at your settings. Todd is actually...
There he is.
Todd has actually worked in the coffee industry. He's worked with Big Coffee, as it might be.
Well, yeah, I guess for one.
But
my first job in coffee was Starbucks out of default. I needed a job, and they were hiring. They actually had a pretty good training program, to be honest. But then I learned about all the nuances of coffee and the fact that coffee, like wine, has about 160 different profile flavors. If you have really good coffee, you can kind of be nuanced. I don't have the palate of a Q-grade cupper, as they say. But I have been able to get like a strawberry or brown sugar or something like that. But most people don't know this because most coffee is low-grade quality and they over-roast it or burn it to cover up the bad flavors of coffee. The low-grade quality stuff. And then people say, oh, coffee is just bitter and burnt. That's because most of it is. So here's the quick secret. Don't buy coffee that's like all dark and shiny and it says it's going to raise your hair and, you know, light you up, because that's just all marketing. And usually I'm very susceptible to marketing. But in coffee, I have learned.
I'm going to start calling you Liz Rosenberg because we're doing coffee talk, just like the Saturday Night Live skit from Mike Myers. Welcome to Coffee Talk. This is amazing.
I'm filling in for Paul Baldwin. He's got a Chicago that's shooting. He's in Palm Beach resting comfortably. Thank you very much.
This was literally just a little throwaway thing before I got into the main topic here. But now I realize I have so much to learn from you. You're like my new coffee Sherpa.
Well, thank you. Yes. I had the honor of sharing a studio on Friday when we were filling in for you with Parker, and he is remarkably awake and up and honest for only drinking water. And I heard earlier, yes, he is remarkably healthy. I wish I could be like that.
I know. Tony's saying on YouTube, wait, water? How do you do that? You know, I think he's much more of a Red Bull and vodka guy myself. I could be wrong, but it works. So. There's our coffee talk for today. Hey, this is when we would normally do our homeroom segment where we talk about education in Wisconsin. And I asked Todd to come on a bit early, and there was one education matter that I wanted to get his thoughts on. Now, we just had State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire on the program. Was it last week or the week before? Talking about being on the Assembly Education Committee. Since that time, he has introduced a bill about voucher schools and the enrollment caps, because right now there is an enrollment cap so that, you know, only so much state money can go to school vouchers. But what a lot of folks don't know, and we've mentioned it in passing a couple of times in this segment, but we haven't really focused on it, is that those caps are set to go away. Republicans have set it up that these caps will go away and there would be no limit on taxpayer dollars that would move away from other services into voucher schools. And so Representative Christian Phelps has introduced a bill to maintain the existing enrollment caps on the voucher program. The bill was introduced along with Representatives Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay, Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, and Chris Larson of Milwaukee. Senator Larson will join us next Monday, by the way. And Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein will join us next Thursday as we start booking guests for next week's show. But Todd, I do think that this is something that folks really underappreciated, was the fiscal ticking time bomb that Republicans had left in the education budget for our state.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad the folks that you listed are putting forth legislation to try to address it. Hopefully, maybe some Republicans will listen to this, although I'm kind of doubtful of my former party, because I know what their agenda is. But I really hope that people listening to your show and others really look at this and understand it, because as you said, if there's no caps, then you start getting the real outside interests, the national interests, who really do have, in my opinion, a war, an attack on public schools. And unfortunately, it has gotten even worse in the 10, 11 years since I worked in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. And that is, his national interests are now being merged with you know, Christian socialists or Christian social ideas.
Nationalists,
folks.
Yeah.
Nationalists, thank you. And so they really feel that religious doctrine should be taught in schools. And I just don't think that's the way the country was set up. I don't think that's healthy. Look, if the local Lutheran church or the local Catholic church wants to have their own school, a parochial school, that's great. I got nothing against that. I have a lot of friends that went to Catholic parochial school, K through eight. But to have these huge, basically to suggest that a high school the size of one of Eau Claire's public high schools would suddenly become under this, and the enrollment could go way up, and then you have your local school board really doesn't have much of any control over what is taught there. Suddenly now you have kids being taught religious doctrine that might not believe in that at all. So I think Representative Phelps is right. I think he's being fair in that he's not saying we're going to get away, go and do away with these schools. He's just saying, hey, there's a cap. Let's keep it there. I think that's a good balance between public and private.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, that you are now seeing in some states where Republicans are saying, ooh, maybe this thing's growing a little too much because it's pulling money away from, you know, roads and health care and everything else out there. Now, look, there are others who are happy to do that. They want to see an end to public education overall. But the fiscal irresponsibility of it, to me, really seems to stand out because of what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now with a Trump budget bill that would blow another $3 trillion hole in the deficit. Essentially, between that at the federal level and even considering getting rid of enrollment caps at the state level, I feel like it gives up the game that your former party, which people did see as fiscally responsible once upon a time, is anything but these days.
Yeah, I think I heard you talking to somebody yesterday about this. Or no, I guess I can't remember. More coffee, Todd. Somebody on our network was talking yesterday. It was Jane saying, I can't believe I'm finding myself agreeing with Rand Paul, of all people, more often. And, you know, you do have a couple of folks like Rand Paul, maybe not all for the right reasons, but they bring up this point, exactly what you said, that, look, there's nothing conservative, traditionally conservative politically, about some of these things in this reconciliation bill. Amongst them, of course, as you said, education. And you say it, you do such a great job on this show highlighting public education. I think this is just another call for everyone listening this morning. If you care about your local public school, call your state representative, call your state senator. And, you know this, Pat, as a former legislator. I'm keenly aware as a former legislative flack. You know, when you get a call from half a state away from outside your district, if you're not busy, you'll probably take the call and be polite about it. But that call's not going to your boss. That your boss isn't going to really care about that call. It's the people that they represent. So call your local, whoever your state representative is, whoever your state senator, say, look, I care about public schools. I'm on board with this bill being authored by Representative Phelps. And I think we should keep a balance. And that does matter.
It does matter. And it really is just a sense of calling up your legislator and saying to the staff person, and saying it very nicely, that you're sick of these referendums, and that you now understand the reason that there's endless referendums is that Republican legislators have been underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation for 16 years. So what are you doing lifting the caps and sending even more money to private religious schools when you're underfunding the public schools and forcing endless referendums? It's that concise. It's that easy to understand. If you're sick of the referendums, then you have to understand the underfunding and how it would be made much worse if even more money is shifted to voucher schools. And that's why Representative Phelps has introduced this bill. And I'm sure we will be talking about that with him in the near future. along with Senator Larson, like I said, who's going to be joining us next Monday. Hey, a quick reminder here that you can follow what my team is doing over at Up North News. Just head to upnorthnewswi.com. You can follow us on our newsletters, through social media, through our website, and, of course, mornings right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any 3 games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the 5th quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Going to the community picnic real quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the time of year for this. This is something that we know brings people together and enjoy. And it's a wonderful idea. I really like that. The open house is something that I would never put this on anybody. But for lack of a better word, feel so necessary nowadays. You know, just being able to do this in all it up to people and everything. The more and more people doing these kind of things, the more we really take away any kind of other thoughts or unknown stuff. It's so much easier to be able to get answers if you're just going there. And I don't mean necessarily religiously or anything. I just mean in general. And the more comfortable people are going to these places, the more they will be when they have questions, when they do wonder mm-hmm. things. They're that much more. Along with it just being fun and just being great. great. Bruce, you were talking about the beautiful building and the architecture there. I mean, even people being able to see some of that and be more familiar with this and the surroundings and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. And you guys are doing this in a partnership with Witter Home and Isaac and Charlotte Wider. They're going to be a part of this as well.
Yeah, it is. The Witters were founding fathers and mothers of St. John's Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they provided a good deal of the financial imagination and other resources needed to make this happen. And obviously they're also known in the community for what they've done in many other ways. And they built what is now the museum.
Mm-hmm.
They lived there for many years. And so we approached the museum and said, wouldn't it be a really cool thing for us to be able to celebrate together in July the Witter name,
mm-hmm.
not just for the church, but for what they have offered to the larger community.
Yeah.
And we're blessed that the museum has said yes, and they will be open and allowed us to have a reenactor there in Charlotte Witter that who can describe the family life of the Witters living in that home.
Yeah. We love our friends over at the museum. Phil joins us all the time, yeah. And we're talking with him. And one of the things that I know he's excited about with this is that part you were mentioning there about bringing in the real person. It's a great person to be able to kind of bring life to a lot of this stuff, yeah. And everything. That's going to be an exciting one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fun going on there. I'll warn you guys right now, you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back before October so we can talk about that, what's coming up there. But just to go ahead and let the audience know a little bit and maybe even mark it on their calendars. In October, you're going to be hosting a music festival.
We are. Every year since for the last 5 years, we've had what we've called the St. Cecilia Music Festival, named after the chapel that is at St. John's. And it highlights the organ that was installed in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful organ, unique to this area, and the whole music festival sort of has been centered around that. And this year, with the organ, we're going to try to bring back the original evensong service from 1931, from October 18th of 1931, when they consecrated the church.
It's a fun idea.
It is going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. So. It's very exciting. Looking forward to that. We will talk more about it when we get closer to it and everything.
We'll have free food at that celebration as well. I don't know if that's another enticement, but absolutely.
No, that's great. That's
come
great.
For the music, stay for the grub. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We eat, the Episcopal Potluck is an excellent event. We eat very, very well.
Also coming up in November, going to have a celebration of with a Founders Day banquet at St. John's as
yes.
well. Wanted to mention that just real before we kind of rewind and go back to some of the other events, but wanted to mention that for people as well.
Yeah.
Then mark your calendars for that, everybody. We are speaking with Father David and Bruce right now, and I wanted to go back, if you don't mind, to the open house. Bruce, some more details on that, because you have some really fun, really cool ideas that are going to be going on with this open house coming up.
Yeah, we're having an open house, and we'll have an opening presentation by me. I'll be appearing as Father Samuel Seabury, who was the first American bishop of the Episcopal Church, around 1780, give or take. And I want the world to know I'm shaving off my horseshoe mustache for the part. I'm getting into the character. It's a big sacrifice for me. Yes, method acting.
I am an actor. I respect that, sir. That is awesome.
I'll be dressed for the part. No vintage undies, but other than that, I'm dressed for the part. And, we're excited about this. The tours are going to be given by reenactors who are members of our church family. So we have Bishop Seabury, we have Charlotte and Isaac Witter, who are both early benefactors of our church, and they'll be, once again, in period dress. So add a little twist to the festivities, and I think you'll enjoy just simply seeing that, knowing a little bit more about St. John's and a little more about the Episcopal Church. And if we can take the spiritual question, put that aside just briefly, it's a fascinating history in and of itself. So I hope you'll attend and enjoy meeting us. I know we're going to enjoy meeting you.
You know, we were just talking to our friends at Historic Point Boss a little bit about this, about it being a living museum and things that you can mm-hmm. touch and interact with. And in the years I've been doing this show, I've talked to them, and I mentioned Phil at the museum and some yeah. of that. As lovers of history, like you and I, Father David, and it sounds like you are a bit too, Bruce, of course. Yeah. So it seems like a majority of people I talk to actually do just have a love of history. The way of telling that history is becoming more and more interesting to me, and seeing the unique ways of doing it. And this is one of the cooler ideas I've heard of doing that. And I feel like, especially when I talk to people about this, and this a lot of the younger people I talk to about this, that information stays with them more. It mm-hmm. means a little bit something more. There's just something about taking in that info and it registering and staying with them that much more when it's done that way. So a big thank you to you and the team there for taking this on and doing something like this. I think that's really fun, and it just brings more fun to this. And
it'd be fun for us too.
Yeah, Bruce, it's a great point too about being able to separate. I think that this area is very good at that with respect, where you do that and you're still giving respect to what have did these things, while also just being able to enjoy and take some pride in the history of this area. So that's a really good note too, man. I appreciate that. That's going to be fun.
And I think one of the really nice parts about what we're doing is we're remembering that history is about telling a story and learning how to tell that story in the way that will reach people the most.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's just doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This is on top of an existing 25% tariff that was already in place for a couple of months here. We're essentially just adding another 25% on top of that.
The federal government's moved in the case of the Egyptian national accused of an attack on Israeli hostage supporters. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Homeland Security and ICE are taking the family of suspected Boulder, Colorado terrorist and illegal alien Mohammed Soleiman into ICE custody.
That includes his wife and five children. Severe storms in the Midwest have spawned flash flooding and suspected tornadoes. Sophia Winfrey headed for her basement in Independence, Missouri.
When I was downstairs, I saw a lot of things passing my window, like tree branches, and I heard a lot of sounds like breaking.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.